Hi, my name is Dr. Jeanette Banaschak.
And I am Dr. Janice Lundy. Welcome.
We are the co-founders and co-directors of the Spiritual Guidance Training Institute, which is a certificate and training program for interfaith and interspiritual guidance. And we'll get into what all that means in this conversation. So I thought we'd start out this conversation with a question, Jan. How did you first find out about spiritual guidance?
That really is a wonderful and thought-provoking question because I, for the vast majority of my life, knew nothing about formal spiritual direction or guidance. I was given some information about it in 2000. I was, at the time, a teacher and retreat facilitator and had just recently completed a stint as a director of a women's spiritual growth institute in West Michigan. And naturally, it felt as if people, women in particular, were coming to me with lots of spiritual questions. And questions about their life, their journey, healing to wholeness. And from all of my years of experience, 20-plus years of experience doing that, I often sat with women and talked with them about these issues. But it became clear to me at some point that I didn't have official training to do this. And in my view, when you are having very in-depth spiritual, deeply human conversations with people, it's good to know what you're doing. It's good to have training. I mean, the soul is not something we mess around with, the care of someone's soul. So it was interesting. I actually just sort of had that intention inside myself to know how maybe to do this and serve this way in a more formal way. I really didn't know what that meant. And synchronistically, I had three different people in the period of a month tell me or ask me, do you know anything about spiritual direction? Because I think this would be really wonderful for you. It's like what you're doing already, but it's a more formal practice. And that really took me by surprise. That, to me, felt, you know, I think like a spirit thing, because, or a call, if you will, because it was in my heart, but I didn't know how to move in that direction. As it turned out, a couple of people told me about the training program that you and I, Jeanette, ended up going through in Grand Rapids, through the Grand Rapids Dominicans. And it just flowed from there. It was a good fit at the time, and it gave me the training I was looking for to be able to serve people in a way that was life-affirming and encouraged spiritual growth and healing. So that's where it began. What about you?
Well, I come from a religious family on both my mom and my dad's side. And I've always been an educator. I began teaching high school Spanish. It's actually what brought me to Michigan from the Chicagoland area. And while I was in Michigan, a friend encouraged me to go on a silent retreat. And I remember when I was in college taking the Myers-Briggs test and learning how extroverted I was. And so I said to my friend, I just don't think it's going to be possible for me to go on this retreat and be successful. And she is a very introverted friend. And she said, actually, it might even be harder for introverts. And she gave a really compelling reason. about what goes on in our mind and in our thoughts when there's silence. And it was compelling enough for me to believe that I could do it. So I went on my first silent retreat, and it was a directed one where I met a spiritual director who became my spiritual director for nearly a decade after that, and is, besides my parents, the most influential person in my life spiritually. I met her at this retreat, and I remember after the retreat, I was going to have a spring break and I was going to go backpacking in northern Georgia. And she said, you know, maybe we could talk again after you get back from your backpacking trip. Because I think there's a lot of things that we can discuss. And I had no idea what she meant, but I trusted her from those early encounters at the retreat. And so I came back. I came back because I felt there was a kind of listening that she was giving to me that I had never experienced before. I felt heard. I felt nurtured and encouraged. And I felt really cared for. And, you know, I think for some of those reasons, I decided to become a spiritual director, a spiritual guide, because of especially those early first several year encounters with my spiritual director.
That's a beautiful story, and it feels very synchronistic, just like mine did, somebody extending an invitation to you and feeling the movement of the spirit in that moment. And what you bring up for me, Jeanette, is that I did not have an experience of formal spiritual direction. But for many years before that, I had women mentors who served very much as and like a spiritual director does, that they happen to most often be friends, admired colleagues, older women, wise women, who were quite often in the field of psychotherapy. Yeah. Or ministry of some sort, or led retreats. Very intentional women, very contemplative, and yet lively in terms of living their true spiritual calling in the world. And I realized later that they really were serving as spiritual guides to me, but in a less than formal capacity, just meeting and conversing in person or over the phone whenever I needed to. So it's interesting to see that common thread that sometimes the relationship can be less formal, like in my situation, but it took on the role of spiritual guide and seeker or spiritual companion, so that my journey deepened, and there was someone in support of that, you know, who could listen and hold things confidentially and carefully and tenderly to encourage my growth, just like your first spiritual director did.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing that she really, really encouraged for me was a psycho-spiritual integration, kind of that you just mentioned. I had no idea that I had an inner world and what the inner world contained. And there was a presence about her, a gentle presence, really. And that was a term that she often used, go gently, where she really, she helped me to explore my inner world and to do it without fear. And when I had fear, I felt kind of emotionally held by her care, like I mentioned earlier. And so in that formal setting, it was exactly what I needed at the time for all those years. But I think, like you, I did have some early informal mentors and guides that helped me along the way, that listened well. But there was something about the training that she had specifically had, you know, that seemed to make the difference in my heart and with integrating the mind, body, heart, spirit connection.
Yes, and to pick up on that training note, I think that's what I noticed with my early mentors, but I would actually call them spiritual guides because each did have training in various academic, formal ministry, or psychotherapeutic models. And the common theme, it's so interesting, you said that she always talked to you about being gentle. My very first mentor guide that still is today, and she's in her 80s, her mantra, her protocol, all of her writing and teaching was live gently with yourself, which I think is this wonderful theme that comes through in spiritual guidance, is that the inner landscape, as you say, is so important to be attended to. And yet we don't really know how to do that in a more structured way, perhaps, but that it doesn't have to be gut-wrenching. It can be difficult, but when you are being held and your conversation is being held in a sacred way, you trust the individual to point the way if need be, or just listen and just turn your attention ever so gently, or affirm what you are saying. And it does take skillfulness to do that, and that's why I know you and I are so excited about this training and the Spiritual Guidance Training Institute that we have, because we feel that the training is really, really key. It makes all the difference in the world in terms of the breadth and depth of someone's spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And so I love hearing these common threads that you experienced, and you and I didn't even know each other back then, you know, the same kinds of wise guides who came our way and the qualities that they had, and yet they were, through their training, very integrous and ethical and trustworthy.
Yeah.
Experienced as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah, one of the words that comes to my mind as you're talking, Jan, is discernment, which is a really important concept within the practice of spiritual direction, spiritual guidance, you know, helping or being able to distinguish or to choose among various options, doing it well, doing it carefully, doing it gently. And, you know, as I think about some of the biggest decisions I've ever made in my life around relationships, around job choices, I was really able to, I learned how to relate in various circumstances, kind of in relation to kind of vocational, volitional, emotional, spiritual, cultural, societal, all those things. As I was, maybe another way to say it is, as new levels were uncovered, unhealed and unwhole things, some of those personal, cultural, societal things also began to become uncovered, and I needed some discernment around that. You know, I couldn't do it alone, and I don't think we ought to do it alone.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful point to bring up. That is the beauty, I think, of this spiritual guidance relationship between two individuals, is that those powerful life points that have to be discerned. We don't have to do it alone. We have someone who knows how to be with someone else in a formal way to hold the place for their discernment. That is one of the gifts of spiritual guidance and spiritual guidance training, absolutely. In a world where there are so many choices all of the time, and there can be so much confusion about those choices and life paths and spiritual paths, that to have this other who you can talk with about anything and you are safe and it is held in confidentiality, and you are not led, you are not coerced, you are not told that this would be best for you, to really just hold the movement that you're experiencing inside yourself with some clarity and kindness, so that you yourself can find your own way. It's really powerful. Yes.
Well, I think about the empathy, the great empathy that my spiritual director has, and how she really could feel deeply when I was feeling sad, when I was feeling confused. And it's not like she would just interpret what I would say and say it back to me. I mean, she would feel and listen so deeply. And it seemed like in those moments it was exactly what I needed. So you've been a spiritual guide longer than I have, Jan, and I'm wondering, as a more seasoned spiritual guide, how has your view of spiritual direction, spiritual guidance changed?
That's another wonderful question, Jeanette. I know, and I will say very transparently, when I went into the training initially, which in those days with this specific organization was a year of formation and then two formal years of training after that, was that I wanted to serve in an authentic, integrous way. You know, being a teacher by training, for me, training is important. You don't put out a shingle and say you can do something when you've taken a weekend class on it. You know, it takes that lengthy process of really skilled learning and practice. Yeah. And so I wanted the training. I wanted to know that I could serve in an integrous way. But I also had a misguided notion, I think, early on, that I was going to be able to give something to somebody that they couldn't get anywhere else, or I was actually going to guide people or teach people or be more directive, perhaps. And maybe the term spiritual direction even confused me in the beginning, that I was going to be actually giving somebody direction for their spiritual life. I think that's why it's important in the establishment of our institute that we have very officially chosen to not use the word spiritual direction, because it can be perceived as hierarchical, and move into the realm of spiritual guidance. What I learned after doing doing this journey with people for many, many years, going on, 15 years now, that it is so much more than that. It is actually a diminishing of a sense of self and what you can do for someone, to an opening to the spirit and trusting the movement of the spirit, the divine, the sacred, by whatever name you call it. We are an interfaith, interspiritual organization, and everybody has their own unique understanding and words for language for the divine or truth or ultimate reality or God. And that there was something more happening here when the two of us came together with intention and heartfulness that was bigger than what we could understand. There was a trust in the process. So there was an emptying of what I might call more egoic self and agenda, to resting into, though being widely awake and listening to what was happening here so that the individual I was with could find her own way more clearly, with myself serving more as a rudder, perhaps, like on a boat.
Yeah.
And it was a much more mutual process than what I had originally envisioned. And with that comes a great joy and a great amount of gratitude, wonder, and awe at how both individuals are served in the context of the relationship to deepen their understanding of self and spirit, as I say it. Mm. So it has matured. It has deepened. It has matured. I've hopefully taken myself more out of the picture and really journeyed with the charism into a deeper place of transparency and service to the other, and realizing that the other is not really the other. The other is also, you know, all of us. It is, this person is me, you know, in another form, and she or he, I, because we're all journeying together more deeply. So, definitely maturing. That would be the biggest thing, perhaps. Mm. What about you?
There's a great, I'm just going off of what you just said, there's a great Mayan understanding, and it's that you are the other me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been pondering that recently. I really echo a lot of what you have said. So to our listeners out there, while I was in training to become a spiritual guide, Jan was my mentor. I had my own spiritual guide, and I also had a mentor, which was somebody who was helping me with more of the tactical kinds of things, the advice in little maybe questions that wouldn't come up during the typical training that I was receiving. So Jen and I, after I finished becoming, when I got my certification, we became friends and have continued the friendship through the years. So this is very exciting to be talking with you here on this podcast right now. I do echo what you said about trusting the process, opening to spirit, trusting the spirit, the mutuality between the two people that are in this, you know, spiritual friendship, a deepened understanding of the self and spirit. I think I'd maybe add a couple of other things for my own personal growth. Learning to give care to myself and the other simultaneously has been something that has been a part of my transformation. And I first learned about this concept when I was going to spiritual direction and therapy at the same time. I actually had a therapist who was, or who is, a spiritual guide, and I chose him for that very reason. And one time he asked me, how could I be both an observer and a participant in my life? And I took that question and really have reflected on it deeply and have taken it into my practice as a spiritual guide. How can I nurture myself in conversation and relationship, but really also very deeply nurture the other? And I've learned a lot about myself through that. I think, you know, I appreciate how you're talking about kind of our shift in the language around spiritual direction and spiritual guidance. So you'll hear us using both of those. But there's something mutual that happens in the conversation, and it takes self-knowledge, it takes self-awareness, and it takes attentiveness in the moment. It takes presence. So those are the things that I've been trying to cultivate through the years.
And wrapping this up, those are the things that our program and our certificate program advocates and implements. And so I think this is an excellent point for us to turn our attention toward that and to remind the listeners that we are an institute that is dedicated to the art and practice of spiritual guidance, especially through a unique protocol called Pure Presence. And it is interfaith and interspiritual in focus. And our opening session begins August 12th of this year, 2017, an 18-month certification training program for spiritual guides, directors, and that we are delighted to offer this opportunity to people nationally, internationally, because it is a distance learning program online with two residential institutes in Chicago in that 18-month period. And our application period does end July 1, and we are currently taking applications. And so with that, we thank you for listening today, for joining us in this early conversation about spiritual guidance and its call, and perhaps what Jeanette and I have shared with you today resonates with you. And if that is so, please contact us. We would love to hear from you, chat by email and or telephone, answer any questions you might have about what it means today to be a spiritual guide, how you become one, and what would this mean for the rest of your life and for those with whom you come in contact. So we invite you to visit our website, spiritualguidancetraining.com. And you may want to also subscribe at this point to our Universal Wisdom Weekly Message, which is deeply rooted in the things we're talking about, deepening self-awareness and fostering compassionate presence among seekers of all traditions. So thank you very much, and thank you, Jeanette, for these wonderful questions and for talking with me today about my journey, and I loved hearing about yours, and onward and inward we go.
Yeah, thank you, Jan, and thank you to our listeners, and we look forward to future podcasts.